So I want to move on to our On the Couch interview for today. And as I said before, there are very, very few silver linings in the COVID-19 cloud, and particularly in the lockdown cloud. But one of the few positive spin-offs of lockdown is that some events which used to be geographically limited are now accessible to everybody in the online space. And for once, as a result, I get to encourage you listening to us here in Cape Town to please attend the Durban International Film Festival this year. It opens today on a virtual platform for the first time in its 41-year history, and it's going to be screening more than 50 different movies over the next 10 days, including features, documentaries, and short films. Obviously, a large focus on South African filmmakers, but there are also contributions from as far afield as Russia and Burkina Faso, Haiti, Finland, Bosnia-Herzegovina, all over the world. There is massive African and international representation as well. Now, all that work is going to be available online until the 20th of September, and we're going to be chatting to a couple of the different filmmakers involved who have links to Cape Town. And we're starting today with a short film called Escape Town, which deals with the issue of the post-prison experience and the problem of criminal recidivism. Delighted to welcome on the line with us the director of the short film, Colin McRae, who is a South African-born filmmaker, studied at CPUT and UCT before moving to Scotland. Colin, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Heather.
I noticed the credit for the University of Western Scotland at the end of the film. This was actually your project for your master's degree, wasn't it?
Well, that's correct. Yes, it was. Yeah.
Okay, with a name like Mac Anything, I think most people would assume there's a family connection to Scotland. Is it more than that, Colin? Is there something
My parents are Scottish, so I have that connection.
Okay. Now, let's talk about this movie. It centers around the figure of Edgar Combrink, who is a Mitchell's Plain resident who we meet shortly before his release from prison and then follow into his new life back on the outside. How did you come to tell the story, Colin? How did you first find Edgar?
Well, there was a little interesting background. The film that was made wasn't what I intended to make initially. There's a restaurant in Portsmouth. I don't know if you know about it.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I heard about this restaurant, and I thought there'll be a great, potentially good news story coming out of Africa. So I went to visit the restaurant, thanks to my connections from media connections in Cape Town, and I met a few of the inmates who work in the restaurant, and the idea was to follow them as they left the prison. So that's how I met Edgar. Edgar was a waiter.
Edgar was a waiter at the restaurant. Okay.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit. Obviously, I've seen the movie. Our listeners won't have seen it yet. Just set the scene for us and tell us a little bit about who Edgar is and what he was doing in Portsmouth.
Edgar actually was back and forth to Portsmouth many times, but he actually came from what's called aspirational working class, potentially. I mean, he went to college, studied, had a really good job, but somehow found his life just slipped away, got into drugs, got into crime, and it became a vicious cycle. So, but he was essentially trying to beat that cycle. And that's the gist of the story. Can he beat the cycle? Because he's got two children from the outside world. Yeah.
Now, he articulates several times in this 14-minute film that he feels lost and adrift outside of prison. That, interestingly, he says behind bars, he had a sense of purpose. He had rediscovered his self-esteem. He had found things in himself that had been missing during his encounters with crime and drugs. But now here he is back out on the streets. He is a man with no plan and no sense of place and no sense of purpose, other than that he wants to be different and he wants to be a different kind of father to his children. Now, in one way, Colin, I heard that comment and I thought there's something of a compliment to the prison system that a man can go behind bars and find the space to reflect and find the will to want to change. But at the same time, here's a system that has spewed him out and offered no support in the process. I mean, talk to us about how you felt about the long-term effectiveness of our prisons as rehabilitation tools.
Yeah, I think what I did notice in Portsmouth, they have some very interesting projects going inside Portsmouth. So people, they do feel active. There's a farm in Portsmouth. I worked on a program called Film for Offenders, where I was teaching prisoners film skills while I was here.
Okay.
There's a lot of things happening within the prison. But literally, when they leave, there's nothing. There's very, very little support when prisoners leave. And there's a lot of really cool work by interesting NGOs, but it didn't seem to be any coherent plan. So he would literally left at the door, as he says in the film, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, and that's where we find him. So he reflects on the fact that this is why so many people end up going back, because they come out, and even if they've got the best will in the world to want to change, nothing is set up to support them, and it's very hard to find a way forward when you've got a criminal record hanging over you. When he says this is why so many go back, Colin, your stats at the end of the film indicate that our recidivism rate in South Africa is something between 80 and 90%. How recent are those stats, and where did you source them?
There's no real stats all over the place, unfortunately, but this was stats that I was given to me informally, which they recognize to be the proper rate, not the government rate, the proper rate. So I have the figures somewhere, not on me, but I can send them to you. But this is what the people who work in the sector say, that's the rate.
Okay, so yeah. Nearly 9 out of 10 people who've been behind bars will end up back there again in this country.
Pretty much. It's very difficult. It's very hard for them to get work. Your unemployment's very high, obviously, especially in places like Mr. Plain, so there is no work anyway. So if you're coming with a criminal record, you have double jeopardy, in a sense.
Yeah. Now, what was really interesting to look at in this film, Colin, was the influence and significance of young people on Edgar's life, because there were two very different sort of examples. In one case, he talks about the young gangsters of today and refers to them as kids with no conscience who kill without thinking, that the moment the sun goes down, they creep out of the shadows like the monsters in a bad movie. And at the same time, you have this man trying to care for his children and saying, my motivation to stay out of prison is to be here and not miss any more of their lives. I mean, do you feel a sense of hope for the youth in these areas? And in a way, you get a sense that Edgar's not the only person lost in this film.
No, it's very difficult because it's almost a dichotomy. I mean, you know, I was in Mitchell Plain a lot while we were making the film, and there was a lot of hope there, a lot of positivity, a lot of great things happening. But on the other side, there's a lot of, it's so easy for kids to slip into this gang world where there's instant money, instant acceptance. And so there's that kind of, it plays out on both sides all the time. But it's frustrating to watch.
Yeah. How long ago did you actually shoot the footage for this film, Colin?
This was actually last year. It took over the course of a year to shoot it, going back and forth.
And have you kept in touch with Edgar since then?
Well, unfortunately, I've got some bad news. I found out last week that Edgar is back in jail.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, yeah. So I've spoken to his daughter, and I mean, she's fine, which is deeply sad, though, because she's, as you might have picked up from the film, she's almost taken on a parental role.
Yeah.
And she's only 14, which is quite sad. They live with extended family, but essentially she has become the de facto parent
younger siblings. Yeah. That's such a disappointing outcome. Colin, will you try and touch base with him again and reach out to him to continue to follow his story? How do you feel hearing that news?
It was deeply sad, but it was different. I mean, having been there, having seen his circumstances, it was always going to be highly probable. You know, so I was kind of had myself not prepped for it, but I was hoping that the kind of work that we're doing, Paul's more in the restaurant. I mean, it is great preparation, but I was hoping that would be enough of a foundation for him to go into that industry. But it wasn't. You know,
deeply saddening, but it's still a movie that's worth watching and that gives one a lot of food for thought, not least because of the way you bookended it. Now, Colin, going into the film, you start with the sort of classic glossy tourist brochure of the Atlantic seaboard, the luxury brands, the restaurants, the beaches, and then very abruptly you cut away to the side of the city that isn't featured in those adverts and the grittiness of the streets of the Cape Flats. And then you do the same at the end in a very different way with the stats and the information you share, that sort of, you know, puts up these pieces of information about our prison recidivism, about poverty and inequality, and then finishes with the comment that Cape Town is frequently voted the best place to visit. I mean, it was such a stark and jarring reminder that we in a way live in two different cities that inhabit the same space. Do you feel that divided sense yourself coming back from Scotland?
Yeah, well, I've been coming back. I mean, I was staying in Europe for 10 years and I come back regularly, and I've seen, the one thing that strikes me is the inequality in Cape Town. It's just, again and again, you see it. It's more and more obvious. Mm-hmm. So I felt it was important to highlight this part of the film because Edgar's situation is not just about crime, it's about the legacy of apartheid, it's about a city which is divided. It's all these other factors that involve. So I had to place it in that context.
Yeah. Colin, where to from here? I mean, a great platform for you having this film shown at the Durban International Film Festival. What do you hope will become of it?
Of this, I would love to make this into a more extended investigation of what has happened in Cape Town, and a kind of a long form Netflix style six episode mm-hmm. thing. That'd be great, but that's a long term project.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was working on something with BBC, which is very separate, which was postponed because of COVID.
Okay. Well, Colin, I it's a beautiful piece of filmmaking. I would love to see it turned into a full-length documentary. There is so much to explore and so much of the individual story and the wider social context that is worth digging deeper into. For now, though, what you've packed into 14 minutes is incredibly impactful. So well done on that, and I look forward to more of your filmmaking. Are you back in South Africa for good, do you think?
Well, I'm stuck here at the moment, so yes.
For now, yes.
Okay. Yeah. But no, being a filmmaker, you have to be prepared to travel.
Fair enough.
But I would love to make more films that shine a spotlight on South Africa, also positive films as well. I mean, there's negativity, but I found a lot of positivity. There is a lot of hope here still.
It's good to hear that and be reminded of that, particularly in difficult times like the ones we're living in now. Colin McRae, great to have you with us on the show. Thank you so much. Colin's the director of a short film called Escape Town, which is part of the Durban International Film Festival lineup. And as I said at the start, the one good thing about lockdown is that all of these events are going online, and us here in Cape Town get to view the films at the Durban International Film Festival. The event is hosted by the University of KZN's Center for Creative Arts. It opens today. I think most of the content goes live tomorrow, and it's available until the 20th of September. And it's available free of charge. If you are a South African, if you're accessing those films in this country, you can do so absolutely free of charge. The way to get to all of them is on the website of the Center for Creative Arts. So just bear with me. It's a bit of a long one. It is CCA, as in Center for Creative Arts, DIFF, as in Durban International Film Festival. So ccadiff.ukzn.ac.za. And that is where you go. Otherwise, just Google Durban International Film Festival and follow the links through to the landing site. It's not only documentaries and short films, etc. It's loads of feature work as well. And we look forward to chatting to a few more of the filmmakers in the coming days. Thank you so much again to director Colin McRae.